Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Ausperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Phil Kirpin joins me now. He's president of American Commitment. You should follow him on X at Kirpin, K-E-R-P-E-N. His latest piece over there is cancel the tax hike immediately and permanently. Hello, Phil Kirpin. How are you doing on this Monday? How's the swamp?
Yeah, well, it wasn't quite the Black Monday it was cracked up to be, so that was nice. It went really underreported, but we had major progress on the tax front over the weekend. Friday night / Saturday morning, about 2:30 a.m., the Senate passed an amendment to the House budget, which not only included all of the tax cut extensions that were in the House budget, but actually made the change that we've been asking for, which is change it from a temporary to a permanent extension by using what's called the current policy baseline. That is to say, instead of assuming that all the tax hikes expire at the end of this year and it'll cost money to extend them, they said, let's assume that tax is staying the same as the default. And if we allow that tax hike to take place, that actually is an increase in taxes. And that makes a big difference in terms of the rules and the scoring. And basically, it means they can make it permanent with 50 votes instead of needing 60. And so that was a key improvement on the House version of the budget resolution. And now it's back in the House's court. And we'll see this week if they can agree on it or if there's more ping ponging back and forth. But Rich, the sooner they can get agreement on the exact same budget resolution language, House and Senate, the sooner they can write the actual tax cut bill. And that's really urgent right now, because when you have all of this uncertainty that's added by the president's tariffs, the idea that maybe all of the Trump tax cuts are going to expire at the end of this year, we don't need to have that hanging out there any longer. They need to get this done as soon as possible.
All right. So for people that don't understand but have not been paying attention, the Trump tax cuts that he put in his first term expire at the end of this year if nothing's done. They sunset, basically.
Yeah.
So then what kind of increases are we looking at then if that were to happen?
You know, Heritage Foundation has a pretty good estimate on this. The average works out to about $3,000 per family, but it really depends a lot on how many kids you have, because one of the things that expires is the $2,000 child credit that gets cut in half to $1,000. So however many kids you have, you lose that many $1,000s in higher taxes right off the bat. Then we've got the standard exemption getting cut in half. The standard deduction, I should say, getting cut in half. That's a big tax hike. And then all of the rates go up a bit too. And especially the small businesses, small to medium-sized businesses that pay their taxes on individual tax returns. So that's, say, partnerships, sole proprietorships, and so on, non-corporate businesses. That rate goes from 29% and change to over 40%. So non-corporate businesses get absolutely hammered. And interestingly, they're corporate competitors don't, because that 21% rate was made permanent. So that's not set to increase. So really, it's about $3,000 per household, although it depends a lot on how many kids you have. And then if you're a small business or any kind of business that's not corporate, it's a huge tax increase. And there are other things too, like, for instance, the bonus depreciation, that 100% write off in the first year, which is so important for getting lots of capital investment. We're already 3 years into the phase out for that. So right now, even this year, that's already started to expire. This year, if you have capital investment, you can only write off 40% in the first year. We want to get that back to 100%, get a real injection of capital investment in the economy, raise productivity, raise real wages. And so, it's a lot. It's about a $4 trillion tax hike come January 1st if Congress doesn't figure out a way to get this done.
All right. So then obviously this does add a lot of uncertainty to it. So I guess the first obvious question is, why can't they just do this on their own? Just pass and make the tax cuts permanent and keep that separate from everything else. What's the holdup with that?
Well, we've had a lot of disagreements on strategy between the House and Senate, although, as I said, they're getting closer together now. Initially, at the beginning of the year, the House said, let's put the president's whole agenda into one big bill, do one budget resolution, one giant reconciliation bill to do border, taxes, energy, in defense, everything.
The one big beautiful bill. The Senate said, no, 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 right.
Let's just do defense and border. And then later in the year, we'll do another budget resolution and another reconciliation bill to deal with tax. Well, Rich, there have never been two budgets done in the same year ever in the history of the country. So the idea that this was going to be like the most productive Senate ever, most of us kind of scratched our heads at the thought that that might actually happen. That seemed a little bit crazy. And in fact, the Senate's now finally given up on that idea. And that was why it was such a big deal what happened over the weekend, because they said, you know what? The House is right. We're going to do everything all in one. We're going to get this done, taken off the table. And so that's why they took up the House budget and they passed this amendment to it. The reason they don't want to do tax just by itself without dealing with all these other things is you really only get one shot a year. The Senate wanted to do it twice, but realistically, you only get one shot a year in the Senate where you can pass a bill that can't be filibustered, where you can do it with 50 votes instead of 60. And that, in order to do that, you have to do a budget resolution first that has what are called reconciliation instructions to the different committees, including, if you want to do tax, the tax writing committees, House Ways and Means and Senate Finance. And then those reconciliation instructions can be put into a bill that's privileged. It can't be filibustered. And so this is the way that the Trump tax cuts were done in 2017. This is how the Democrats did the American Rescue Plan, which was the $2 trillion inflation bomb when they came in, and the so-called Inflation Reduction Act. This is because everything's become so partisan and getting 60 votes is so difficult. This has become kind of the one way around that, is to do these reconciliation bills. Now, if they did it just for tax, that would probably mean they can't do border, they can't do defense, they can't do energy, they can't do the other things they want to do this year, because they can't get 60 for those in the Senate. So realistically, the one way to get everything done they want to get done is roll it into one reconciliation bill, put it in one big budget resolution, and move it forward. And that's the track that we're now on.
Okay, Phil Kirpin, I appreciate you explaining that for everybody, because, you know, this stuff in D.C., it gets in the weeds, and we hear all this all the time. And we've also talked about getting rid of these big, giant, beautiful bills and trying to take up issues one at a time. Right. I mean, that's also been another thing that we've been trying to get to a place. But I understand the process and the procedure of the Senate, and we don't have, obviously, a filibuster proof majority. We have the majority, but it's not filibuster proof. Although, can you explain to me what Cory Booker was doing, since he wasn't technically...
Nobody knows what he was filibustering. I kept asking people, like, what's he filibustering? What's he trying to stop from passing? No one knows. He just went to the floor and spoke for 20 hours. I mean, there was no pending business that he was preventing.
So that's nobody what I can't figure out. Was. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there was no confirmation vote.
Standing up to President Trump and his fascism. Like, you're like literally doing nothing. I mean, okay. I don't know.
But boy, are they treating him like
his re-election for 2026. I don't know.
He's launching his election for his campaign for 2028 is what I think he's doing.
You think didn't he try that once and get
he
nowhere?
Did.
I don't know.
And it didn't work out well.
I was wondering if his imaginary friend T-Bone was watching somewhere in the game.
T-Bone, what a reference. I mean, reading the New Jersey political press today, as I was doing this morning over coffee, and you would think, you know, the hero who came home from, you know, from Sparta with his triumph, you know, Spartacus now after defeating nothing but air. And I guess his bladder maybe depends. I'm not quite sure. But they are treating him like an absolute hero. It's nauseating.
Yeah, but to your point, every single Senate Democrat voted against this budget resolution. Every single House Democrat voted against the House version. You could say, look, the Democrats all want this $4 trillion tax hike to hit. They're for that, which is why they're such hypocrites. They're going crazy about these tariffs saying, oh, my God, this is going to whack the economy with all these taxes. And like, I kind of agree with them. I don't want these tariffs on. But if Trump's using it for negotiating leverage and they end up coming off and we have a better deal, that's one thing. But like, they want to raise income taxes. They want to cut the child credit. They want to cut the standard deduction. It's like, don't tell us that you're against tax hikes and then vote lockstep against this budget, which is the pathway to doing a tax bill this year.
Yeah, exactly right. That's the key right there. Now, back to the tariffs for a moment here. You know, Trump saying don't be a panickin is the new phrase now. And you got Scott Bessent out there saying there's 70 plus countries that want to come to the deal, want to negotiate. I mean, I think if he just announces a big win and says we and country X have both agreed on this, the market would probably rally in a big way after that. And that would go a long way, too. Don't you think?
Yeah, he's got a few countries that definitely want to do, you know, zero for zero, no tariffs, no non-tariff barriers. I think that Netanyahu offered that to him face to face at the White House today. We could get an announcement on that very soon. I know Javier Milei from Argentina has made the same offer. Mm-hmm. Vietnam reportedly has made a similar offer. I mean, it's a little bit tricky because a country can say, oh, yeah, we're zero, and then cut their official tariff rates to zero, but they might still have a bunch of non-tariff barriers or other things going on. So you got to have some verification. You got to have some specificity to it. But well, I agree with you. The best thing that could happen right now would be to get a couple of examples of rock solid deals where we go total free trade, no cheating, no barriers, no nothing. And say, here's the example. Europe, you want it? You could do it too. Japan, right. Canada, UK. Hey, we're listening, but you know, you can't just say our tariff rate is zero and think that's it, because we know about all the other tricks and all the other non-tariff barriers that go on. And I'll tell you, with Europe in particular, you know, they don't pay for prescription drugs. We have $117 billion trade deficit in prescription drugs because every new drug that's developed, the research and development costs are recovered in the United States. We're the only place you can get market pricing. All these other rich countries freeload off of us, and half of the drug companies are in Europe. So they're in Europe, but they make all their money here. And then they get the drugs, you know, for pennies on the dollar over there. That doesn't work for me. They should be paying a market price and we can meet them in the middle. So there are a lot of things like that that are not necessarily tariffs, but have a big distortive impact on trade and are very unfair to the United States. So if we could put some of these other issues in play and get a favorable outcome, this could end up being a massive win. The challenge is, you know, how do you avoid a downward spiral where you get retaliation and just global trade collapses and you have a 1930s type worst case scenario. So the president's playing a very, very dangerous game here, but we can't really judge it until we see what the outcomes are.
Yeah, no, I agree on everything you just said there, Phil Kirpin. And the fact that we didn't have a Black Monday today, because some people were warning about that over the weekend, and you know, Jim Cramer was saying that basically on Friday, although now he's denying that he said it. But the resiliency of the market and the Nasdaq like finishing in the green today, I actually attribute that to the fact that Benjamin Netanyahu said that. I think if the president had said, "Then fine, then we'll do the same," it would have been just a rally at that moment. But I think the market is the reason why it's holding so strong right now is because they're anticipating that is going to happen and going to happen very soon. Now, if it doesn't, then I think we get into some problems here. So I think it's got to happen soon, is my sense of it. I think the timing of Netanyahu being there and making that announcement today, and you watch the Nasdaq go from red to green and then the S&P go from red to green, I think those things happened because they're basing it on that assumption. Like, this is these tariffs are meant to push these countries towards free trade and freer, fairer trade. And the other the barriers that you're talking about, we've heard a lot about shrimp. We've heard a lot about beef cows, like beef cattle, right? We've heard a lot about those two things. We've heard about the unnecessary ways that some of these countries keep the U.S. from competing in their countries. Those things go away, deals get announced, And then if we go on track with these tax cuts, and then, of course, the deregulation piece of this, which is the other piece of this that has to happen, then, yeah, I think nothing but outstanding economic success comes our way.
Yeah, I mean, that's the bull scenario. That's the optimistic scenario. I'd love to see it happen. And I agree with you. The sooner that they get the first deal announced that gets the tariffs to come off, the better, because it'll set an example and show that the president is serious about an exit path here that's win-win, that this is not just about, wielding a stick. Although the one exception probably is I don't see a deal coming together with China. I think that a lot of these companies that have substantial production located in China are going to end up relocating to India or other places by the end of this, where we actually do cement fair deals all the way around, because you just can't trust anything that China says. And I think that's how Trump feels too. So I don't know how they can come to an arrangement there, but I think most other countries we'll probably be able to come to terms with. And, we'll see. You know, as Bessin said, they're all calling and they're all trying to figure out what they need to do to get the tariff off. And, that might have been the point of what the president did.
Can they throw the RAINS Act into this big, beautiful bill?
I would love to see it. Senator Mike Lee is trying to attach it. I'm somewhat skeptical that the Senate parliamentarian will allow it under Senate rules without 60 votes. But I don't understand Senate rules very well. And so all I can tell you, Rich, is that Senator Mike Lee is going to try his absolute best to get it attached on this. And I've not heard anything yet on whether there's a ruling.
That would be a really big deal if that were to occur. Phil, appreciate it. Keep up the good work. Let's hope these tax cuts are permanent and they happen very, very soon. We need this. Otherwise, we're going to get hit with a massive tax increase, and that is not going to be good for anybody. Follow Phil on X at Kirpin and check out AmericanCommitment.org. Thanks, my friend. Appreciate it.
All right. Have a good one.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rich Zeoli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
And speaking of the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, like I said, we'll be there for our next live show, which is going to be on Friday, June 20th. So you should make sure you join us for that. Mark your calendar and do it today because it's going to be a lot of fun. And Memorial Day. It's going to be here before you know it. You know what sets the Grand Hotel apart is their outdoor heated pool, the indoor heated pool, and the longer you stay at their midweek special in June, the more you save with their resort credits. So check out GrandHotelCapeMay.com before all the good rooms are gone. Do it today. All right, we got a bunch of other things to get to as we continue along the show here today. First of all, in the non-trade things to talk about, although we do, let me just play this clip that just came in, though. This is Scott Bessent talking about all these countries that do want to make a deal with the United States of America. And I think we have that, Justin, if I'm not mistaken. Let's take a listen.
Larry, I can tell you that there are 50, 60, maybe almost 70 countries now who have approached us. So it's going to be a busy April, May, maybe into June. And Japan is a very important military ally. They're a very important economic ally. And the U.S. has a lot of history with them. So I would expect that Japan's going to get priority just because they came forward very quickly. But it's going to be very busy. And if President Trump, again, gave himself maximum negotiating leverage, and just when he achieved the maximum leverage, he's willing to start talking.
All right. So that's all great news right there. And that's good. This is let's turn to the judicial lawfare that's happening right now in this country, where you've got judges who are going after Trump and trying to stop him at every single turn. So on Sunday, the Attorney General Pam Bondi said the real constitutional crisis is that it is this judicial lawfare that we're seeing happening right now across the country. Now, what's interesting over the weekend is they had the Democrats all were protesting across the country. Handsoff2025.com. This spontaneous grassroots, and of course I'm being sarcastic here, all these people everywhere coming out to protest. What exactly? What are they protesting? They had hands off. I saw a picture. Somebody held a sign up. This is the new hate has no home here. It was hands off my body, my reproductive rights, hands off my Social Security, hands off my Medicare, hands off this, hands off that, hands off everything else. I don't even know if they know what they're protesting, to be honest with you. I really don't. I don't think they know what they're protesting, other than they know that they just have to go out and protest. Because I don't really understand what it is. Like, who's trying to take away their Social Security or their Medicare? Nobody. But this is the fear factor, the fear mongering that they're doing, and they're doing a lot of that. But what we have to be worried about are these judges, and these judges who are out there trying very, very hard to stop Donald Trump at every turn. And yes, the Attorney General is talking about this cut 13.
The president is going to comply with the law. He was overwhelmingly elected by an overwhelming majority of the United States citizens to be our commander in chief. And that's what he's been doing. Shannon, just since January 20th, we've had over 170 lawsuits filed against us. That should be the constitutional crisis right there. 50 injunctions. They're popping up every single day, trying to control his executive power, trying to control where he believes our tax dollars should be allocated. And saying he won by an overwhelming majority is so important because that's what the American people want, what President Trump campaigned on and what he won on. And he's implementing that agenda at a rapid speed. None of us can keep up with him every single day. And so it's just we're going after all of these lawsuits. We're defending them all. We just got a great win, mm-hmm. and we'll continue to fight.
Good. You have to. I mean, that's the only thing. And I appreciate that he's complying with the law. I think he's doing the right thing. It's the long term game here. It's the long term play. It's what has to happen. But it's not just on the federal level that we're dealing with this. Remember Letitia James, who promised that she was going to get Trump, the New York State Attorney General, and she ran on that platform. And then she spent her years going after Trump. This is the Fugazi indictments around the value of properties and assets. And then New York went after him civilly. All of that nonsense. Well, she's back. The Attorney General of New York, Letitia James, is back. Old Tish. Now, the good news is Andrew Cuomo hates her. I don't know why it's good news other than the fact that it's just good news that he hates her because, you know, I mean, the love gov may become mayor of New York, although Eric Adams is fighting hard. And now that Eric Adams is no longer a Democrat, that may help or hurt him. I'm not quite sure, but I think Cuomo's got a good shot of beating him in that primary. That's my sense of it. Their primary is not till later, though. It's not till the end of the summer. But here is Letitia James promising to go after Donald Trump. Cut 14.
Again, I apologize. Listen, 57 years after the assassination of Dr. King, and Dr. King talked about that stone of hope. And it's that stone of hope that gives me a fire in my belly each and every morning. It's that stone of hope that allows me to wake up and to stand to Donald Trump and to say, Donald Trump, I'm not afraid of you. It's that stone of hope. It's that stone of hope that gives me power, that's that stone of hope and the belief in each and every one of you to let you know that I'm not going to allow my ancestors, all of those who died for me to be in this position, I am not going to disgrace them and disappoint them. I am going to use the law both as a sword and as a shield and challenge Donald Trump. And each and every time he issues an illegal executive order, I am going to stand up to him because he represents to me sincere ignorance and conscientious stupidity.
That's the tolerant left for you right there. Not looking to work with the president, not looking to see how they can make things work. No. This is the lawfare that will be used at the federal and the state level. We've been down this road before, though, kids. We've seen how this plays out. But it is a reminder, though, that if President Trump leave, if the Democrats ever get control, they will impeach him again. No doubt about that. See, the worst case scenario is this trade thing becomes a trade war. I'm not saying it's a trade war yet, but if it becomes a trade war and the market does crash and then you have a recession and people get angry, and I'm not saying that, you know, Donald Trump's diehard supporters don't get angry, but the other people do. And then they vote for Democrats and Democrats win the midterms. And then because the party that's in the White House historically loses midterms anyway, that's going to be a bloodbath. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be a bloodbath. There's no doubt in my mind about that. I mean, so let's hope that whatever bad is going to happen happens now and quickly and gets over and becomes good. Because we can't even go near midterm elections. And I know that it sounds like a long time away. November of 26. But it's going to be here before you know it. And Democrats are, of course, already raising money off of this. And you'll see what I mean in terms of Republicans are going to have to start making some decisions about whether or not they want to break away from Trump on this, if this goes on. So, yeah, you know, it's fine to be patient. There will be a political hell to pay if this doesn't work, though. I think we all know that, obviously. We all know that. I mean, we're all smart enough to understand that. There's no doubt about that in my mind. So, or there just may be another pandemic. Now, that's the other thing, too, about China. So it's funny, right? The day that Trump says we might hit China with more retaliatory tariffs if they have retaliatory tariffs against the United States, Fauci's back. Asanto Fauci, Anthony Fauci, the nation's leading infectious disease doctor. You always have to say that by law, obviously. And he's warning of another outbreak. That's right. He's warning of another outbreak. It's good riddance that his wife is out at NIH. Yeah, I was on Newsmax Friday morning, and somebody said something like, well, there should be an apology from both sides about COVID. And I was like, no, you know what? No, people need to go to jail for the COVID lab leak and the funding of this and the gain of function research. And there needs to be an investigation into all this. But I'm not going to dismiss the idea that China did this all on purpose, that pandemic was completely done by China on purpose. In other words, it got out of the lab, not by mistake, but it got out of the lab on purpose to go after Donald Trump because of the tariffs that he imposed on China last time around. So I'm just saying that because Fauci knows what else is in those labs. You see, I think COVID's not the only thing we got to worry about. You know as well as I do that they were making other little surprises in that Chinese bio laboratory that's not secure and not safe, and God only knows where else. So Fauci says this stuff, and all I keep thinking in my mind is, what do you know, Doc? What do you know about what else they're cooking up there, or they have been cooking, or they've been working on cooking with the Chinese military's involvement, for example? Cut 15.
What is likely to happen, I don't know if it's going to be next year or 10 years or 15 or 20 years from now, is the emergence of another respiratory disease. It may be another coronavirus, because we know that coronaviruses really, mostly in bats, have the capability of binding to receptors that are in humans. It could be another flu. We're dealing with H5N1 now, which is bird flu, which has taken the somewhat disturbing step of infecting mammals, namely cows and cats and other mammals, which means it's adapting itself more to a human. So my concern, Walter, is that whenever that happens, the next outbreak will be of a respiratory disease that's easily transmissible, that has a significant degree of morbidity.
And we are making this a little bit more dangerous with the cuts and our attitude toward science?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, please. No, we're not, because you guys were creating these things in laboratories paid for with tax dollars. Give me a freaking break. But you know what? Since it's our happy hour, I want to end on a positive note. And that is that today, the Los Angeles Dodgers were welcomed to the White House. Now, that's not positive for us as Phillies fans. My only point to you is that today, the president welcomed them to the White House. And he made a joke about not introducing the Democrat senators from California. And it made me laugh. And the players all cracked up, too. And I think it's been a tense day for everybody. So since I see some people's blood pressure might be going up a little bit. Hopefully this will help lighten that a little bit for you. And my advice, too, is don't look at your 401k. Just don't check it. I made the mistake of checking mine. Wish I hadn't done that. So don't be like me. Don't look at it. Just ignore it. But here's cut number 20.
Congratulations, Brian. And others, we have a couple of senators here. I just don't particularly like them, so I won't introduce. Over the course of this amazing season, the members of this team... I didn't think it was that big a deal, actually. Washington. Over the course of this amazing season, the members of this team gave us some
That's
of the most...
Funny. That is funny. All right, listen, as we continue, we got a lot more to get to. And Dr. Mike Veneria, great guy. He's our dentist. He is our dentist. He's also the master of dental implants. You know, there's all this research coming out now about how important going to see the dentist is twice a year for your overall health, not just your mouth, but also your whole body, because there's correlation between bacteria and heart disease and also your gut microbiome, all of it. Plus, having a beautiful smile gives you confidence in every situation, personal and business. So what are you waiting for? I've been talking about my buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria. Great guy, great dentist, the master of dental implants. You need to go see him today for your perfect smile by going to VeneriaDental.com. That's V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com. For over 10 consecutive years, he's been recognized among his peers as a master of dental implants, a master of giving people the smile that they deserve. And if you've had an opinion, a consultation, an estimate to get complicated dental work, well, get a second opinion with my man, Dr. Mike. He'll take great care of you. Two offices, Cinnaminson and Woodbury, right over the bridge. Easy to get to from wherever you are. So what are you waiting for? Go see him today. Let's go to VeneriaDental.com, and you'll love the people in the office. You'll love the music that plays in the office. You'll love the entire experience, and you'll have a beautiful smile. And if nothing else, get your entire oral health history under control by going to see Dr. Mike. It's important to see a dentist, and he's the best. Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
And there's a lot that's happening, first of all, around Joe Biden. And that is that the Democrats are all pointing fingers and blaming everybody for allowing this guy to be the candidate in the first place. And you have to realize something when it comes to these arrogant Democrats and how they got here. They did everything in their power to make Donald Trump the nominee. They really did. They did everything in their power to make him the nominee. They were so convinced he could not win. They played the ultimate game here. You think about it. Instead of just leaving the guy alone, he's down in Florida, Mar-a-Lago. Other names are emerging to run for president. Ron DeSantis and other people want to get in the race. They're running. What does he do? What do they do? They prosecute him on the federal level. They prosecute him on the state level. They prosecute him again on the state level. They just come after the guy. And that was all done on purpose. It was all done on purpose. It was entirely designed to try to get him to be the nominee. They thought that everybody would rally around him. They were correct. They did. And they thought he was the easiest one to beat. They were terrified about having to run against Ron DeSantis. He had just won a big race in Florida. He'd won by 20%. He won Miami-Dade County. He flipped historically blue counties in Florida red. They did not want to risk that. So they figured Trump's easy. We beat him before. We'll beat him again. And this time around, whether or not they ever thought he would be a quote unquote convicted felon or not, it was never the point. It was never the point to really go after him. It was the point to go after him to get you to support him again. There were a lot of people that had come off the Trump train. You know, they thought he lost 2020. He didn't fight hard enough. They thought that he didn't stand up to Fauci enough, whatever it was. So they were done. All of a sudden, now the FBI is raiding Mar-a-Lago. The FBI is going after him. He's getting charged in this court and that court. And all of a sudden, people are turning around saying, I would walk over glass for this man. I know people like that. I know people who were done with him. And they said, well, you know what? Now I'm back on board. I am going to fight for him because this is ridiculous. That was all by design. And the gamble that the Democrats took was that Biden would be able to run a race and that the economy would be strong. They had no idea what they were, the kind of fire that they were playing with here. Number one, because so many of them were in either denial or the dark about just how bad Joe Biden's cognitive decline really was. And number two, I think in their lefty minds, they thought all this money they're spending was going to lead to all this economic bliss. And they figured that the American people would be so excited about all this free money. You know, all this money you're getting, COVID relief money, Inflation Relief Act, which of course did nothing to reduce inflation, only drove inflation up. But we call it that. We'll invest in this green deal and that green deal and you'll get money for this. And they thought this will be a cakewalk for them. As long as Trump's the nominee, this will be a cakewalk for them. They had no clue. So all of a sudden, it's 2023. It's the back end of 2023. Biden cognitively is clearly demonstrably out of it. Trump is gaining in popularity again. I first make the prediction that Biden's not going to be the candidate. The Hunter Biden stuff is not going away. In fact, the way I knew that Biden was toast was because that summer, if you remember, in the summer of 2023, that's when they had that whole beautiful sweetheart. I told you, don't call it a sweetheart deal. That was when they were going to roll in all of Hunter Biden's criminal misconduct, which is really the criminal misconduct of the president of the United States. It covers for Joe Biden. All of Hunter Biden's financial crimes with the gun diversion agreement, package it up, put a bow around it, put it in federal court as a gun diversion agreement. Therefore, the judge had no ability to reject it. And the only way it was rejected was because the judge played a Jedi mind trick on Hunter Biden's legal team and was able to convince them, she didn't even have to work very hard. Idiots hire idiots. And this idiot, this crackhead moron, hired these dumb lawyers who, instead of taking what was unarguably the greatest deal of a lifetime, you get absolute immunity from everything you've ever done. But because it didn't include one little aspect of this, could he theoretically be charged for failure to register as a foreign agent? Yeah, theoretically. Well, then I'm rejecting the whole deal. So then what happens? Well, then they break it off. Merrick Garland announces a special counsel, and now they indict Hunter Biden separately in different courts on the different charges. But the big one was indicting him on the financial crime stuff, which directly links back to Joe Biden. We all know that now. We knew it then, but we know it now. So that's when I knew Biden was toast. But the problem they had back then was Kamala Harris. What do they do with Kamala Harris? You get rid of Joe Biden. Now you're stuck with Kamala Harris, who's even more unlikable, who's a terrible candidate, and she's not going to win. So they didn't know what to do. So they figure, let's delay this until we can get closer to the convention and do some kind of a last minute switcheroo. And they were banking on that. They just weren't able to pull it off. So they were stuck with her. So now there's all this finger pointing going on. And apparently now everybody in Democrat politics knew how bad Biden was, including at their debate prep at Camp David. What this book Uncharted shows is that when they did their debate prep with Joe Biden at Camp David, Ron Klain, who was the White House chief of staff, who called me out on Twitter a couple years ago for being unhappy on Fox News over the economy, which is a joke. Ron Klain knew Biden couldn't go on the debate stage. He's the chief of staff. He's the kill switch. The chief of staff is the kill switch. They could have killed it then. They didn't. They put him on that debate stage. We learn that Joe Biden's sister comes out there and says, what have you guys done to my brother? What have you done to that? What have you done to him? After watching that debate, it was such a fiasco, but it was done on purpose. It had to be June. There had to be enough time in order for them to make a switch at the convention and transfer the funds over. because if it wasn't going to be Kamala Harris, if it was going to be another Democrat, there's a process by which you have to do that. And the DNC rules allow for that to occur if it's done at the convention. They have plenty of time to print the ballots, no doubt about that. Plenty of time to do all those things. So Joe Biden gets out of the race. They're stuck with Kamala Harris. They can't. She can't win. They knew she can't win. Now everybody is pointing the fingers at everything. But what's really interesting about this is that Jonathan Turley points this out, that the Biden corruption, the multi-million dollar influence peddling operation, and the DOJ's refusal to charge Hunter Biden with being an unregistered foreign agent, which was the thing that kept that plea deal from happening in the first place in the summer of 2023. Now, the New York Times, of all places, the far right wing New York Times, has found evidence suggesting that the former president's son was acting as a foreign agent as early as the Obama administration when his father was vice president. And last August, the New York Times ran a story about Hunter Biden seeking help from the government for his client, Burisma, the Ukrainian energy firm. And Hunter Biden, this is from the New York Times now, Hunter Biden sought assistance from the U.S. government for a potentially lucrative energy project in Italy while his father was vice president, according to newly released records and interviews. The records, which the Biden administration had withheld for years, indicate that Hunter Biden wrote at least one letter to the U.S. ambassador to Italy in 2016, seeking assistance for the Ukrainian gas company Burisma, of which he was a board member. That is exactly what everybody's been saying. This guy was doing business overseas. And don't forget, this is what they got Paul Manafort on. They got Bob Menendez on, too. Paul Manafort went to prison for doing this exact same thing, for failing to register as a foreign agent. It's the Foreign Agents Registration Act, FARA. And it's so sweeping, in fact, that they could that alone could have sent Hunter Biden to prison for his entire rest of his life. But the thing about it, though, is that had he just accepted that deal in 2023, all of Biden's financial crimes would have been covered up. But Hunter was a sitting duck still, because that wasn't going to be included in the indictment, in the immunity deal. But what's interesting is what happens in the next few months. When they indicted Hunter Biden on those financial crimes, what that meant was Joe Biden was toast, because they went from the Department of Justice of the United States went from working on a deal back in the good old days of the administration when Biden seemed to be cognitively with it, when the economy seemed to be strong, working on this diversion agreement, to then indicting Hunter Biden on the financial crimes that directly link him to his father. That's how you knew the whole house of cards was crumbling. The game was up. And at that point, Biden had to go and they had to get him out of the race. But it is charming, though, to watch and listen to all these Democrats point fingers now, blaming him for staying in the race for the reason why they were stuck with Kamala Harris. No, they kept him in the race as long as possible for the reason that they thought that was their only chance of getting rid of Kamala Harris and controlling the process in a way that they couldn't allow a renegade like a Bernie Sanders or somebody else to come in there and seize the nomination. That's why they're in the position that they're in. That's why they're in the predicament that they're in. But if you want to know exactly why I said in October 2023 that Joe Biden was not going to be the candidate, it's when they announced the indictment of Hunter Biden on the financial crimes that they had previously tried to cover up in that gun diversion agreement. That's when I said, that's it. It's all there. That's what they're going to use as the leverage to get him out. And sure enough, after that debate in June, which was a setup to get him on that stage, they got him out of the race. Emmons Roofing and Siding is your go-to contractor. You want to reach out to Emmons today for all of your home needs and save 10% off. That's right, a 10% off inflation relief discount for you and your family. Go reach out to Emmons today by going to emmonsroofing.com. You'll love the great work that they do. You'll love the fact that you're going to have Anderson window replacement, door replacement. Your roof will have beautiful lifetime warranty on that roof with the best in the business, Owens Corning Shingle, a roof that stands up to severe weather, siding that keeps your home insulated and looking sharp, or new windows that blend functionality with style. Emmons has you covered. They're offering each and every one of my listeners an inflation relief discount of 10% off roofing, siding, and Anderson window replacement. So don't wait. Reach out to them today. They serve our whole region, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. Make sure you tell them I sent you.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We'll see what happens tomorrow. I think the key with all this, obviously, is that you and I, we're all watching the resilience of an incredibly strong economy right now that is really hoping that the president is going to announce some trade deals that result in freer, fairer trade, and hoping that that happens very, very soon. I'll talk more about that in the 6 o'clock hour with you. So we have a whole hour to go. I also got to get into this thing, this story I saw today about how many people would like to be severed from their, there's this show Severed on Apple TV. And basically it means that you get severed, you go to work and you only have your work life. And then you have your real life, for lack of a better term. And you don't remember the other part of this. Yeah. From Severance, Matt DeSantis. You like that show? Is that a show you actually watch?
I did start watching it. Everyone recommended it. I don't know how much I like it. Have you started watching it yet?
Yeah, I'm on season two. It's kind of over the top for me. Yeah, it's slow. People love it. I don't know. I'm obsessed with 1923 right now, which is the prequel to Yellowstone. Harrison Ford, so good. But
yeah, I was actually at dinner with a group of friends the other night, and someone mentioned that show and highly recommended it. So I'll have to check it out.
Yeah,
your
really
recommendation
good.
Means very little to me, but
that's because I have taste and you don't, so you won't like anything I recommend. You know, plus we were recommending things that most guys have seen. Like I had a guys' weekend this weekend. We watched Tombstone, a movie you've never even seen. So give me a freaking break.
Hadn't even heard of it until last week.
So, thank you. Exactly. Justin, I don't know how you do it. I really don't. I don't know how you do it. Justin, you should sever yourself from Matt DeSantis. If there's a way you can do that, that's what you should do.
I've been investigating it for a couple of weeks now. Yeah. Unfortunately, can't find anything. If you have any ideas, please let me know.
That's what needs to happen right now, a severance from DeSantis. And that's the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneria. I'd smile even more if DeSantis was severed from this show. Just go to VeneriaDental.com for your perfect smile, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Schedule your implant consultation today, 856-786-2020 or VeneriaDental.com. Our fourth and final hour, straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.